Coffee Shop Love by Lofflight 501. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. Primo enters the coffee shop exactly 3 months to the day after meeting Rico. He'd been thinking about this moment for weeks, carefully planning what he would do. He'd begun visiting the cafe regularly, getting to know the younger man with the safe distance of the counter separating them. He had been counting down the days until he could cross that counter. He'd had a lot of thoughts about what he could do to Rico against that counter, but Guido had caught him having sex in his cafe once. He didn't want to push his brother that close to murder again. Unfortunately, it is said brother, not Rico, manning the cash register when he pushes open the door. Guido gives him a look. Literally everyone on this planet was afraid of Primo except for Guido. His brother, the soft cinnamon roll man that sometimes cried at commercials, was completely unimpressed with even Primo's angriest glares. Guido taps his fingers on the counter and raises an eyebrow. "I'm guessing you didn't come in to see me." Primo tries to give his brother a glare, but it doesn't work. Guido just folds his arms and leans against the counter. "You said to wait 3 months," Primo snaps defensively. Guido makes a show out of checking his watch. "I don't know. You might be a few hours shy of 3 months." Primo's glare intensifies, but Guido is unfazed. Grinding his teeth, Primo growls, "It's close enough, Guido." Guido narrows his eyes before he sighs. "If you hurt him." Primo raises his hand sarcastically. "Yes, Guido, I'm terrified of you." "Hey," Guido snaps, pointing a finger at him. "I'm serious. He's in a good place. He deserves happiness. He's worked really hard to get here, and I don't want him being hurt again." "Who do you take me for?" Primo snaps, honestly starting to feel insulted. Did his brother really think that little of him? His outburst doesn't scare Guido, but his brother softens slightly. "I think you are attracted to Rico," he answers carefully. "I just worry." "You deserve happiness too," he admits. "Just be careful, because I love you both." Primo sighs before leaning over to kiss his brother's cheek. Guido was too good for this world. "He's in the back," Guido waves him off, "taking his lunch break." Primo smiles before moving into the back. He sees Rico immediately picking at a sandwich while listening to music with his headphones on. He stares at him for a little bit. Guido was right. Rico was finally in a better place. He smiled more and didn't flinch as much. His eyes sparkled more often with joy than with tears. Primo had made sure that Victor had left not only town, but the country. He'd followed Guido and Rico's request. He hadn't killed the bastard, but he was willing to if Victor came anywhere near Rico again. He'd made sure that Victor knew that Rico was safe to rebuild his life. Primo knew on some level that he should probably leave Rico alone. Despite Guido's influence, Primo was far from a good man, but he was observant. He'd been watching Rico carefully and listening to everything Guido mentioned. Primo was far from perfect, but he'd do everything in his power to treat Rico right. He moves into Rico's line of sight, not wanting to startle him. Rico's face lights up when he sees him, slipping the headphones from his ears. "Primo, this is a nice surprise." "It shouldn't be," Primo murmurs, stalking closer. Rico blushes, but his smile widens. 3 months. Primo takes his hand, feeling the electricity from the simple touch traveling up his skin, and pulls Rico to his feet. He steps a little closer, waiting for any sign of discomfort. "Rico," Primo purrs, rubbing a thumb over the top of Rico's hand. Would you have dinner with me tonight?
I would love that, Rico answered shyly.
Primo should step back. That had been his original plan. He would wait until after their date tonight to kiss Rico. The mistake had been touching Rico. Just the contact between their hands awakened something in Primo, something primal, similar to the violence that he worked so hard to contain. It was an energy, a need to possess. Plus, he'd waited so long. Primo takes a step forward until their lips are a breath apart and waits. As much as he wants this, Guido's words echo in his ear.
He's in a good place. I don't want him being hurt again.
There are only two people in this world that Primo cares about, and he doesn't want to hurt either of them. Thankfully, Rico takes the last step. His movements are slow, but Primo doesn't sense any hesitation when he leans forward to press his lips to Primo. The kiss is worth every minute of the past 3 months. It starts soft, just a test, slowly sinking into each other. But then Rico parts his lips and tilts his head, deepening the kiss. Primo's tenuous control snaps. One hand moves to Rico's lower back and the other cradles the nape of Rico's head. He growls a little as he slips his tongue into Rico's mouth. Rico trembles a bit, but it's a tremble of desire, not fear. His arms wrap around Primo's back, pulling him closer and pressing their bodies tight together. He sighs as Primo's tongue tangles with his own. Rico and Primo are both panting by the time they part. Primo wants so badly to claim this man as his own, make love to him, and erase any lingering memories of Victor. But they are in Guido's kitchen, and Rico deserves better. He grasps Rico's chin, tilting it to lay two chaste kisses on his lips.
I'll see you tonight, Rico, Primo murmurs.
Rico doesn't answer, just blushes and nods his head. When he leaves, Guido rolls his eyes at him, but he thinks his brother is pleased. Guido was a romantic at heart and wanted Primo and Rico to be happy together. Primo was fairly certain they would be. Rico is still floating when he walks out of the kitchen. He can swear that his lips are tingling from Primo's desperate kiss, and Rico didn't think it was just from his mustache. His blush intensifies when he sees Guido. His boss and friend has his elbow propped on the counter and is grinning at him.
Nice break, he chirps.
Rico can feel his entire face burning red, but he nods and starts to wrap his apron around his waist.
Maybe.
I'm happy for you, Guido responds, but his eyes are full of worry.
Really?
Yes, of course, Guido says with a sigh. I just worry about you. If you need more time, I will be happy to tell Primo that he needs to wait.
Rico can't hold back his laughter. His friend was the sweetest person that he'd ever met, but his love for his family could give him a spine of steel. Still, the sight of the adorable soft Guido scolding the tough, grumpy Primo always made Rico smile.
It's okay, Rico responds. I'm looking forward to tonight.
He's half dancing by the time he walks around the counter.
Oh no, I was supposed to go to the shelter with you tonight.
Guido smiles before he cups the side of Rico's face.
Tesoro, I used to go to the shelter all by myself before we met.
I'm okay doing it by myself tonight.
Are you sure? I feel so bad.
Guido shakes his head before heading back to the kitchen.
It will be okay. I'm glad one of us has fun plans for tonight.
Rico smiles as he watches his friend leave. Guido always seemed a little lonely, even when he was surrounded by people. He wanted to be loved, but seemed to have terrible luck. He compensated by showing love to everyone he met. He deserved to be loved, too, and not just in the platonic way that everyone seemed to love him. The bell on the door jingles, and Rico is forced to look away from the swinging door. He tries to focus on the customer, smiling when he takes the complicated order, but his mind is still on Guido. Maybe Primo would have some ideas about how they could help him. Rico was panicking. Guido had even let him leave an hour early so he could have plenty of time to relax. Instead, he had spent the past 2 hours working himself into a panic. It wasn't because of a lack of trying. He had started with the mindfulness exercises he'd learned in group counseling. He'd progressed to the visualization exercises that his therapist had taught him. He had taken a long shower. He had used the soothing lotion Guido had given him. They had helped enough that Rico wasn't a trembling, sobbing ball of anxiety curled up on the floor. But he was far from relaxed. He had gone on dates before, but they had been during his old life. They had all happened before he went to prison. Before Victor. Looking back on them, it seemed like those dates had belonged to someone else. Some other Rico. One with a backbone, hopes and dreams, a family. Rico didn't even recognize that person. The person he was had never been on a date. It's not like Victor was known for his romance, or that prisons had fancy restaurants where they could have gone. He jolts when he hears the knock at the door and inwardly curses. He'd lost track of time. He tries to take a deep breath before wandering to the door. He catches his reflection in the mirror Guido had hanging next to the front door. It makes him squirm. What did Primo see in him? Rico just saw a scrawny fuck-up with frizzy cornrows and sunken cheeks. He looked healthier without the many bruises, but he still wasn't attractive. Not like Primo. He must be staring for too long because Primo knocks again. Cursing silently, he opens the door. Now Primo was attractive. Today he was wearing a powder blue shirt stretched tight over his broad shoulders and defined pecs. His hair looks so soft, and Rico shivers when he thinks about running his fingers through it, or how Primo's mustache might feel on his skin. "Good evening," Primo murmurs. He's not smiling. Primo rarely smiles, but Rico catches just the hint of amusement in his eyes. "Good evening," Rico mumbles. Do you want to come in?" Primo doesn't respond right away, but walks into the apartment. Rico feels kind of awkward. It was Guido's apartment, really. It felt strange to invite Primo into his brother's apartment. Was it insulting to Primo? "Panicking already?" Rico's head snaps up. "What?" The corners of Primo's lips quirk up while he stalks closer. He stops just a short distance away, but Rico feels a little dizzy, feeling the warmth of him. "Why do you look so worried?" Rico releases the breath he didn't realize he was holding, and his shoulders slump. "I just don't know what I'm doing. I haven't been on a date in a really long time." Primo steps closer, and his hand lands on Rico's arm, slowly sliding up until he's cradling the back of Rico's neck. It should be scary. Primo was a dangerous man, and he was so close to Rico. But Rico just feels grounded, like all his worries are slipping away. "We are going to dinner," Primo murmurs, just a breath away from Rico. "You are going to order whatever you want, including wine and dessert. Then we are going to walk along the canals, and I'll wrap my arm around your shoulders. After, I'll take you home and kiss you until you're breathless." "I'm already breathless," Rico whispers with a small smile. It's embarrassing but true. His body already felt like it was on fire. "Then I'll kiss you until you relax," Primo murmurs. "If at any point you need a break tonight, just say latte and we'll stop." "Latte?" Rico chokes out a laugh. Primo frowns, but Rico can see the humor behind it. "Do you have another suggestion?" "Just a request." "Oh?" Primo asks, his thumb gently rubbing the sensitive skin at the base of Rico's neck. Can you kiss me now, so I can relax? Primo's lips curve up again, and his free hand moves up to caress his lip. Rico's body feels like he's on fire, but instead of crumbling into ash, he feels like he's about to be reborn as a phoenix. He thinks perhaps Primo isn't going to kiss him. He can see the denial on the tip of Primo's tongue. He seems like the type to draw things out to make Rico wake. But he's done a lot of waiting already. Primo yanks, and Rico tumbles into him. Primo captures his mouth. He doesn't even bother to go slow this time. Primo is devouring him, plundering his mouth with his tongue. Rico feels just as desperate, practically unhinging his jaw in his eagerness to match Primo's kisses. Primo feels warm and hard under Rico's roaming hands. No, wait. Primo is hard. Rico groans when he feels Primo's large erection pressing against his hip. His hands keep roaming, moving down until they are full of Primo's truly glorious ass. It's his turn to yank this time, pulling Primo tight against him and grinding. Primo growls against his lips. He pushes Rico up against the wall and Rico freezes. He can't quite identify what sets off the panic attack. One minute he's rubbing his own erection against Primo's, and the next he's trembling against the wall, unable to move. His heart is pounding so hard that it might jump out of his chest. Primo must sense it because he releases Rico. He suddenly feels even colder as he shivers against the wall. He gulps for air but still feels like he can't breathe. Rico. Rico. Primo's firm voice breaks through the haze and grounds him. Take a deep breath and hold it. Now release. Rico does as he's told and continues through the breathing exercise a few times before his heart settles to a steady pounding instead of a frantic gallop. Only now the anxiety is replaced by shame. He wanted to be with Primo. He had enjoyed every kiss. And then he had ruined it. I'm sorry. Primo shakes his head and suddenly looks awkward, shoving his hands into his pockets. It's fine, Primo shrugs. We still have the rest of the evening. You still want to go out? Primo shrugs again and looks surprised by Rico's question. Yeah, I made dinner reservations. I don't see why our plans need to change. Just remember, if you don't like something, just say latte and we'll stop. The nonchalant way that Primo was handling his meltdown banished the last vestiges of cold and panic. He smiles and nods, moving to open the door. When they start to climb down the stairs, Primo slips his arm around Rico's shoulders. He doesn't feel panic. He doesn't feel scared. Doesn't feel the need to whisper latte and escape. He feels normal. For the first time in years, he feels normal. He isn't an ex-con, a mess, someone who has panic attacks and nightmares. He's just a boy out on a date with a handsome man. Guido is in a wonderful mood. It didn't matter that he'd had to cover the last hour of the cafe by himself. It was worth it. When Rico had left, Guido could just about see the little hearts in his eyes. It was wonderful seeing his friend so happy after everything he had gone through. Plus, the incurable romantic in him loved that his best friend and brother were getting together. To the outsiders, they might see a mismatched pair, or might even worry that a brute like Primo would take advantage of someone vulnerable like Rico. Guido knew better. Primo didn't care about a lot of people, even had a tendency toward violence in certain circumstances, but he was fiercely protective over the ones he cared about. At Guido's current count, exactly 2 people. Plus, as much as he tried to avoid human connections, Guido suspected that Primo also craved goodness. Rico exuded goodness, and he'd pierce Primo's outer shell. Guido saw the way his brother looked at Rico. Plus, Primo was good with broken things. He became deeply uncomfortable with displays of emotions, but had been surprisingly good at nursing Guido through his own heartbreak and trauma. Add in that Rico needed to feel safe. He needed someone he could relax around. Despite Primo's violence, or maybe because of it, Rico felt safe around him. The bell signaling the door opening draws Guido away from his daydreams about planning Primo and Rico's future wedding. Cazzo. He had forgotten to put up the closed sign.
Our kitchen is closed, but we still have drinks and pastries,
Guido responds from where he's wiping down the pastry case, too nice to try to explain that they had closed almost an hour ago.
That's fine. I was actually hoping that you could help me with something else.
Guido climbs up, and his jaw drops when he sees the man on the other side of the counter. For a split second, he had thought it was Rico. He had Rico's beautiful eyes and chiseled face, but this man was hard, where Rico was soft. His jacket hid his form, but there was no hiding this stranger's muscles. This man didn't look vulnerable and sweet-natured. He looked tough and battle-worn. His eyes, so familiar to Guido, had an intensity that was completely unfamiliar.
I'm looking for Rico. Is he here?
Guido is left a little dumbfounded. This man probably wasn't connected to Victor. He had to be a family member. But that didn't calm Guido at all. From what Rico had said, his family had completely disowned him when he went to prison.
Rico?
Yes, the man continues. He works here, right? Guido doesn't answer right away, grabbing the rag and attacking a non-existent stain on the counter.
How do you know Rico?
The man sighs, obviously annoyed. He's my cousin. Is he here or not?
It's just me here, Guido responds.
He isn't sure how to play this, but it grated that this man was irritated with Guido. Rico's family had abandoned him during his hour of need. He didn't have any reason to play holier than thou.
Do you want me to pass on a message?
Guido adds primly, continuing to wipe down the counter.
I want to talk to my cousin. Do you know where he is?
Nope, Guido responds a little too quickly. Rico lived with Guido, right above the coffee shop, but he was probably on his date now, so technically it wasn't lying. Guido can't hold back at the undignified squawk when the man yanks the rag out of his grasp. His jaw literally drops. The audacity of this man!
I have spent 18 hours traveling here to find my cousin. I tried to follow his trail after he got released from prison, but the only breadcrumbs I found from there led me here. Now tell me where my cousin is, or my questions are going to get a lot more unpleasant.
Guido gasps in outrage and tries to snatch the rag back. He doesn't know why, it's just a cheap rag, but it's the principle of the thing. Unfortunately, the man's reflexes are better than Guido's, and he easily holds it outside of Guido's reach.
Maybe you should have kept in touch with your cousin instead of abandoning him after he went to prison.
Guido grumbles back. He didn't care that the man's eyes were shooting murderous daggers at him. Guido was used to Primo.
I didn't know he was in prison, the man snaps.
He tosses the rag back on the counter before leaning against it. It looks like all 18 hours of travel have caught up to him. He looks exhausted, head hung in resignation. When he finally looks up, Guido sees just a hint of vulnerability in them, and the similarity to Rico is remarkable.
Look, he says, I've been abroad for work. I don't get to come home very often. And I don't check in as often as I should. A couple of days ago,
I was chatting with my mom and she let slip something about Rico. I dug a little and found out that he had gone to prison and that everyone had cut him off. I was livid. We weren't super close growing up, but he's my baby cousin. I've been using all my resources since then to try to find him and make sure he's okay. The mysterious man takes a deep breath and leans forward on the counter. There's a violent flicker in his eyes that oddly reminds Guido of Primo. Now, where is my cousin? Guido taps his fingertip thoughtfully against the counter while he thinks it over. It might be his overly optimistic and trusting nature, but Guido believed this man. That being said, it wasn't right to just give away Rico's personal information without speaking with him first. Rico left work a little early today, but he'll be in tomorrow. If you want to leave me your phone number, I will pass it along to him. The man grinds his teeth a little, as if frustrated that he can't track down his cousin this very instant. Is he okay? Oh, how to answer that question. His bruises had healed, but his self-confidence was still negligible at best. Rico still had nightmares, but therapy was going well. He was going on a date tonight, but he was super nervous about it. He is better, Guido hedges. Look, I'm not going to tell you Rico's business. He gets to decide what to share with you. I will say that he was in bad shape when I met him a few months ago. It wasn't all prison or your family, but your family's abandonment of him hurt him dearly. He may not be ready for a relationship with you. I just ask that you take it slow and not rush him into anything, Guido explains, his words reminding him oddly of the advice he'd given Primo. The man stares at Guido for a long moment. It was obvious that this was a man of action, and it was extremely frustrating that he couldn't do anything this very second. Finally, he nods and takes a step back. Okay, he agrees with an adorable little pout. What changed your mind about me? Truth be told, I believe you. Rico deserves love, and if you can do that, I'm hardly going to stand in your way. A tiny smile quirks up the corner of his cheeks before he wills it away. Rico is lucky to have such a protective friend. Guido grins. I'm lucky to have Rico, too. I think it was some kind of destiny that brought us together. He's the best barista I've ever had, and he's become my best friend. The stranger looks oddly emotional hearing this, before turning to look around the coffee shop, finally surveying it for the first time. You have a nice place here. Grazie, my little oasis. Guido checks his watch and makes a little tisking noise. Can you change the sign to closed? I forgot to do that earlier, and don't want any other customers wandering in. I actually let your cousin go home a little early, so I'm a little behind closing up. Is he sick? Guido is still trying to package up the leftover pastries, so focused on trying to finish everything that he lets the truth slip. No, he has a date. A date? Guido winces immediately. I probably shouldn't have told you that. The man chuckles softly, and Guido is surprised by the warm, comforting sound. No, probably not. Do you know her? Is she nice? Oh dear. He didn't want to out Rico to his cousin. Or he? I know Rico goes both ways. Guido releases his breath. I know him. I don't think most people would call him nice, he says with a chuckle. But he's nice to Rico, and a very good man. That's good. Guido finishes packaging all the pastries, and it strikes him just how awkward it was all of a sudden. Why was this man still here? Glancing over, Guido gets the feeling that he didn't want to leave. It was like all his plans had centered around finding Rico, and now, Having found Rico but being unable to see him, he was aimless.
"Did you need anything else?" Guido asked kindly,
sacking the boxes to go to the shelter neatly on the counter. The man shoves his hands in his pockets.
"Well,
since you gave Rico the night off, do you need any help closing up?"
"You want to help me?"
He shrugs and looks adorably uncomfortable, and Guido is reminded of how lost Rico had looked when he had met him. This man wasn't broken or beaten, but he was in as much need of a friend as Rico had been.
"I'm about to take these leftover pastries to a local shelter," Guido responds. "Do you want to help?"
The man shrugs and moves forward to the counter. He's about to start loading up his arms with boxes, but Guido stops him with a gesture.
"If you are going to be helping me, you should probably tell me your name."
The man gets the vaguest hint of a blush on his cheeks.
"Malik." "It's nice to meet you, Malik. I'm Guido."
Guido reaches out a hand, and when Malik reaches out to shake it, Guido is flooded with a strange warmth. It was odd. For all the many ways that this Malik looked like Rico, Guido had never felt this way around his best friend. To be continued. Coffee Shop Love, Chapter 2, New Love. Primo kept his arm firmly around Rico's shoulders as they climbed the stairs to his apartment. Rico was starting to look nervous again. He'd relaxed over the course of the evening. He had even laughed and told Primo silly stories about growing up in Canale Nayland as they had walked along the canals. But he was getting nervous again. His shoulders were visibly tense as they climbed the stairs.
"Rico?"
Primo murmurs when they reach the landing.
"Yes, Primo?"
Rico responds back, a little breathless.
"What do you say if you need me to stop or you need a break?"
"Latte," Rico responds with just a hint of humor. Primo had chosen well, purposely selecting a safe word that would make Rico laugh.
"Good,"
Primo murmurs, watching as a nervous Rico starts to unlock his door. "And what am I going to do once I get you inside the apartment?" Rico pauses, his key still in the door.
"You're going to kiss me until I'm breathless."
"Good." Primo runs his hand up Rico's back. Rico was trembling, but Primo thought it was mostly from anticipation rather than nerves. He had an idea to keep Rico's anxiety in check, but his plan goes out the window as soon as they cross the threshold into the apartment. Primo barely has time to close the door before his arms are full of Rico. The younger man is kissing him like his life depends on it, thrusting his tongue into Primo's mouth and fisting his hands into his hair. Primo can't hold back the growl. He liked this side of Rico. The passionate, virile Rico, desperate for Primo's touch. Primo wants to push him against the wall and touch him. He wants to get him naked while his hands skate over his body, but he knows that'll just cause another anxiety attack. He also doesn't want his baby brother to catch him mauling his roommate in the hallway. He pulls and tugs Rico toward his bedroom, but he makes sure that he's on the bottom when they tumble into the bed. It's hardly a hardship to have his lap full of a writhing, horny Rico. But he'd noticed that Rico needed an exit. He didn't like to be trapped. Primo could work with that. His hand slips under Rico's shirt and starts to slide over all that soft, smooth skin. It makes Rico groan against his lips and grind against him. They're both shamelessly hard already. Primo had only meant to kiss Rico, but his self-control was starting to slip.
"Take off your shirt,"
Primo whispers between frantic kisses. Rico doesn't even hesitate. He arches up and pulls his shirt over his head. He immediately tries to dive forward again, but Primo stops him with a hand against his chest. Rico is panting, his chest rising and falling under Primo's touch, and his eyes are dark with lust, while he watches Primo hungrily. Primo explores his chest. He tries to be gentle at first, tracing Rico's muscles with his fingertips. His grip gets rougher with each passing second, until he is squeezing a trembling Rico. On impulse, Primo grabs Rico's ass and yanks until he can start tonguing and nipping against Rico's pecs. Rico starts whimpering, and his writhing takes on a desperate quality.
"Please," he moans. "Primo, I need..."
"I know what you need," Primo murmurs, taking a nipple into his mouth. His hand squeezes and massages Rico's ass once more before releasing him. "Take off your pants." Rico shuffles off of his lap until he's standing at the foot of the bed. He looks nervous, but with a hint of desperation that erases any hesitation. His fingers hook in the top of his pants and unceremoniously shove them down. It shouldn't be alluring, but Rico's eagerness was its own kind of sexy. Rico loses his briefs as quickly as his pants, and then he's standing naked in front of Primo. He tries to climb back onto Primo, but he holds up a hand. "I want to look at you." Rico blushes and awkwardly crosses his arms in front of him. He was scrawny. He needed to eat a few more bowls of Guido's pasta, but he had lean muscles that hinted at his strength. He may look a little embarrassed, but his cock was hard and wet along the tip.
"There's not much to look at," Primo mumbles, a light blush coloring his cheeks.
Primo grins wolfishly. "Oh, I like looking at you." He sits up and pulls off his shirt, tossing it to the floor at Rico's feet. He toes off his shoes next. He keeps his eyes on Rico, but Rico is too busy staring at Primo's body. The hungry look in his eyes makes Primo smirk a little when he unbuttons his pants. He starts to push them off, but then he has a better idea.
"Rico, take off my pants."
That little blush returns, but Rico moves forward and starts eagerly taking off his pants. His eyes flick up to Primo's when his hand hovers over the waistband of his underwear. Primo grins before giving him a little nod. Rico chews his bottom lip, but he grasps the edge of the briefs and slowly peels the briefs away. Primo's cock bobs out comically, showing his desire, but Rico doesn't notice. He's undressing Primo with the concentration of someone defusing a bomb.
"Rico?"
"Hmm?" Rico responds absently, staring thoughtfully at Primo's body.
"What are you supposed to say if this gets too intense?" Primo asks.
"Hmm?" It takes a few seconds for the question to catch up to Rico, but when it does, his eyes dart back up to Primo's and he smiles. "Oh, yes, latte." Primo grins and places his hand over his cock, stroking it absently. There were so many things they could do tonight, but the trick was not doing anything that would make him feel trapped. Nothing where Rico was on bottom would work, and he suspected that anything penetrative would also be a little too much, but there were plenty of other ways to get them off. Primo stretches his arms to prop up his head.
"All right, Caro, come get me wet."
There's no hesitation, no fear on Rico's face, just pure desire when he bends forward and licks a long stripe down Primo's cock. Instead of taking Primo's cock into his mouth, Rico plays around the base, taking each of his balls into his wet, warm mouth.
"Cazzo, Rico, your mouth."
Rico makes a little humming noise of contentment that feels amazing around his balls. Primo has to dig his fingers into the sheets to keep from grabbing Rico's face and bringing it to where he really wants it. Rico starts licking up the shaft, getting closer and closer with each lick. Rico looks up at Primo when he reaches the head, giving Primo one hot look before licking around the tip of his cock. He plays with the head for a few moments before slowly taking Primo deep into his mouth. Primo groans loudly. It seems that Rico has given up on teasing because he takes Primo all the way to the root. Primo isn't exactly small, but Rico practically unhinges his jaw to make the slide easy. Rico bobs his head expertly, alternating between taking Primo deep and swirling his tongue around the tip. It's not Rico's expert blowjob skills that almost send him over the edge. It's the look of devotion he's sending Primo through his eyelashes. His eyes sparkle with emotion while he takes Primo until he's filling his throat. One moment, Primo is watching the sweet, delicate Rico taking him deep over and over, and the next, Primo is gasping and clutching against the bed. It's too soon, and Primo has to take deep breaths and focus on football to keep from spilling down Rico's throat. Primo reaches out and grabs Rico's face, pulling him off until his cock is tracing his lips, painting them with pre-cum. "Get up here, caro," Primo growls. He cradles Rico's face and pulls him up until he's sitting on his lap again. Primo caresses Rico's cheek while he drags a hand across the wet tip of Rico's cock. Using the pre-cum to ease his strokes, he starts to pump Rico while he studies his face. He looks splendid, face flushed with passion and lips swollen from sucking Primo's cock. "You're beautiful, Rico," Primo blurts impulsively. "You're so fucking sexy." He can see the disbelief on Rico's face, along with just a hint of hope. He grabs his own cock and lines it up with Rico's. He starts stroking them both, movement made easier by Rico's saliva and his leaking pre-cum. It's a little awkward. His grip can't be as tight as he likes, but the feel of Rico's cock sliding against his own is plenty stimulating. He starts to speed up his motions, increasing the pressure until Rico is groaning. "God, so I could watch you like this for days," Primo growls. "You look so sexy like this, but I bet you look even better when you come." Primo's own orgasm is still so close. Rico was way too skilled at blowjobs, but he wants to see Rico's face while he's in the throes of ecstasy. Rico's cock is steadily leaking by now, making Primo's motions easier. The flush on Rico's face has spread across his chest, and he's writhing in Primo's lap. He's close, so close. "Come on, baby," Primo purrs, squeezing the back of Rico's neck. "Come for me. Come on my cock." He does. Rico is surprisingly quiet when he comes, but the pleasure is written clearly over his face. He throws his head back, and the sweat along his skin glistens in the dim light as he shoots streams over Primo's hand. Primo doesn't let him go, just uses Rico's cum to quicken his own movements. His balls draw tight against his body, and this time he doesn't stop himself. He isn't quiet when he comes. The noise he makes is somewhere between a shout and a growl as he lets himself go and adds to the mess between them. Rico is panting, still sitting in his lap, when Primo's brain starts to function again. He looks so relaxed for the first time since Primo met him. All the tension in Rico's shoulders is gone, and he has a blissed-out grin on his face. Primo wipes his sticky hand on a discarded shirt and then grabs Rico. His arms full of the warm and soft man, Primo settles. Maybe he holds Rico a little too tightly, but Rico doesn't seem to mind if he's on top. "Thank you," Rico mumbles against his chest. Frowning, Primo reaches up and tilts Rico's face back so he can look at him. "What are you thanking me for?" "For telling me what to do," Rico explains with a soft, sleepy smile. "I wasn't so nervous when you were telling me what to do." "I like telling you what to do," Primo growls. Rico chuckles and pats his chest. "Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me." His face gets a little more serious while he looks up at Primo. "Thank you for taking care of me. I'm kind of a mess right now, but you make me feel safe." "I pay attention," Primo responds gruffly, a little uncomfortable with the emotion in Rico's eyes. "You aren't as messed up as you think." He runs a thumb across Rico's smooth cheekbone. The only way you can relax in sex is that you need to be able to think as little as possible, and you need to be able to escape.
Oh, I don't want to escape you, Rico interrupts. I'm just...
Primo presses a finger to Rico's lips.
Shh. Your body needs it. And there is plenty I can do to you or tell you to do to me while you're on top.
His hand glides down to cradle Rico's ass.
And it's hardly a hardship to have your hot body sprawled out on top of me.
I'm not too heavy?
Col cazzo,
Primo laughs. How can you be this skinny when you live with my brother is a mystery to me. Maybe Guido's cooking isn't what it used to be.
Rico doesn't respond, but he's back to smiling dreamily up at Primo.
Primo drags a finger down the curve of Rico's ear, treasuring every second that he has the younger man in his arms. He wants to stay, wants to sleep with Rico curled up in his arms, but that's probably too much too soon.
I should go, he murmurs.
Latte.
What?
Primo responds, absolutely confused.
Latte, Rico repeats, his smile growing wider.
You told me to say latte if you did something I didn't like. I don't want you to leave.
Primo can't hold back the smile. If you insist...
How often do you take leftovers to that shelter? Malik asks as he follows Guido back into the bakery. He had started to think that this Guido was some sort of angel when he had spoken to him earlier, but seeing him at the shelter, the man had an indescribable glow. Everyone was drawn to him, looking at him like he was a saint. Guido treated them all like trusted friends, remembering everyone's name and talking patiently to all of the residents and staff. Malik had been a little uncomfortable. He didn't like being around groups of people, but being around Guido steadied him. After the hellish past years of taking care of evil threats for shadowy government organizations, he had started to believe that good people didn't actually exist. Guido wasn't just good. He was perfect.
I try to go every day after closing. Sometimes I have to send Rico, but I don't like to send him by himself.
They really love you there, Malik murmurs, as Guido turns on the lights of the kitchen. Guido's cheeks turn bright red before he mumbles.
They like the pastries.
Malik steps a little closer to Guido and cups his face. They love you. His thumb strokes Guido's jaw, and the other man is trembling under his touch. You are a very good man.
Oh, Guido whispers. Grat, thank you.
Malik's other hand slides to cup his lower back, and he pulls Guido tight against him. Guido doesn't push away. He clings to Malik while he stares up in shock.
Can I kiss you, Guido?
Guido doesn't answer, just continues staring at Malik like a deer caught in the headlights. Malik waits, but Guido still doesn't respond. It's starting to get a little awkward, and Malik is starting to think that the man wasn't actually attracted to him. He begins to step away, and this spurs Guido into action. The bespectacled little nerd throws himself at Malik, crushing his lips to Malik's in an awkward and extremely endearing fashion. Malik growls and cups against Guido's ass in an effort to pull him closer. Their kissing is frantic, teeth clashing as Guido starts to tear his shirt open. Malik doesn't mind, but he does lift Guido and toss him onto the counter. He devours Guido's lips, parting briefly to pull Guido's shirt over his head before diving right back in. Kissing Guido feels magical, like this kind angel was pulling all the hurt and evil out of Malik. A nagging worry in the back of his mind screamed that Malik wasn't good enough. He shouldn't be tarnishing a sweet man like Guido. But Malik's been fighting evil his entire life. He's allowed this small sin. Buttons pop as Guido yanks his shirt off his shoulders, but then they are skin to skin with Malik trailing kisses along his jaw. Guido's skin feels and tastes amazing as Malik glides lower, kissing, licking, biting. Guido moans softly, and when Malik glances up, his eyes are closed as he gives himself over to the sensation. When he takes one rosy nipple into his mouth, Malik starts rubbing Guido's erection through his cargo pants. Guido groans loudly and starts mumbling in barely audible Italian, "Sì, sì, madre di Dio, sì." It makes Malik smile as he continues stroking Guido and sucking until his nipple was red and swollen. He's already hard, imagining all the things he wants to do to this sweet man. He can't wait to hear how Guido sounds when he comes, how his seed might taste against his tongue, how his ass might squeeze and massage his cock. His hand moves to Guido's pants button, desperate to get his hands on him. "No, wait! Dio mio, we can't!" Malik snaps his hand back, like it's touching something on fire, and not the cock he desperately wants to stroke. He knew it. He was corrupting this sweet, angelic man. He really was a terrible person. It didn't help that Guido looked so tantalizing. He was half naked, and his impressive erection was straining against the front of his cargo pants. He's panting for breath while he struggles to hold himself up. "I'm sorry," Malik mumbles, already hating himself. "I shouldn't have pushed you. I can go." "I don't want you to go," Guido responds, looking earnest and sweet. "It's just not sanitary to do it in here. I could get in trouble with the health department." Malik almost bursts into laughter, but Guido looks so serious, so he bites his lip instead as he steps back between Guido's legs. He glides a hand up Guido's chest until he fists a hand in his hair. "What do you suggest? We can go to your apartment? A hotel?" Guido had started trembling as soon as Malik fisted his fingers in his hair, and his fingertips are digging into Malik's hips as he tries to scoot closer. He's biting his lip now, and Malik can tell that he's making it difficult for Guido to think clearly. Malik doesn't let up his grip, though. He's starting to enjoy that hazy, lust-filled look in Guido's eyes. "There's a supply closet right there." It takes a moment for the words to sink in, the slutty words a delicious contrast to Guido's angelic appearance and personality. But when they finally do, Malik can't hold back the smile. Leaning forward, he nibbles against Guido's ear before whispering, "You want me to fuck you in the supply closet?" "See," Guido murmurs, starting to sound a little drunk. "Per favore." Malik grinds against Guido, drawing one long whimper from him, before pulling back. Guido lets out a completely different kind of whimper, but Malik just chuckles and drags him forward. They lose shoes and pants on the short walk to the closet in between frantic kisses and groping touches. Malik peels the boxers off Guido in front of the closet door, wanting to see Guido's perfect ass in the bright lights of the kitchen. He literally moans when he bites into the round, delectable globes. "I love your ass," Malik groans in ecstasy, while he rubs a thumb over his tight furl and sucks a mark into a cheek. Malik plays with that little pucker until Guido is panting, pressing his forehead to the door while simultaneously pressing back into Malik's touch. He dips the tip of his thumb in and just about embarrasses himself right then and there. But then his brain remembers that he wasn't exactly planning on hooking up with someone tonight. "Guido, do you have supplies?" "What?" Guido mumbles, trying to push back and take Malik's thumb even deeper. "Please, baby, I want to fuck you so bad, but I don't have anything." Guido groans loudly. "I think there's a condom in my wallet." "Really?" Malik asked, raising an eyebrow in surprise. "Here I was thinking you were all sweet and innocent." Guido groans again and lifts up an arm to hide his face. My brother made me put one in my wallet. Malik says a silent prayer of thanks to Guido's brother and kisses Guido's ass once more. All right. I don't suppose he made you stick a tube of lube in there, too. Right. I suppose a talented chef like you would have coconut oil? Guido blushes, but he nods. Malik gives him an affectionate swat on the ass while he goes to pick up Guido's discarded pants. He finds the condom quickly enough to see a blushing Guido trying and failing to hide his erection behind a tiny jar as he walks back to him. Malik takes the jar out of his hand and pulls Guido into another deep kiss. His hand immediately slides down to press against Guido's hole. He'd only known this man for a couple hours, but already he was desperate to bury himself inside of Guido. Every fiber of his being was screaming to take, breed, fuck this man. "I promise I'll buy you a new jar," he growls before pulling Guido into the supply closet. He immediately pushes Guido up against the wall, mouthing against his neck while he unscrews the jar. Slicking up his fingers, he moves them to Guido's hole while he arches back to look into his eyes. Guido releases a little moan when Malik fists his fingers into his silky hair, but then his finger is sliding into that hot, tight hole, and the moan turns into a groan. "You like that, don't you?" Malik grunts, pistoning his digit into Guido. "See," Guido mumbles, widening his feet to give Malik better access. "More, please." Malik chuckles and nips along Guido's jawline. "Greedy little hole, aren't we? Do you like to be filled?" "See, please," Guido pants, his own fingertips digging into Malik's shoulder. Malik slips in a second finger and Guido eagerly takes them. "See, see, see, see," Guido pants, desperate words falling musically against Malik's ears. There are two parts of Malik warring for control. Part of him is driven mad by the amazing way that Guido's hole is squeezing his fingers and wants nothing else but to bury himself in that little furl of muscle and pump away. The other part is more entranced by the breathy moans and dazed look in Guido's eyes. This part wants to keep Guido on the edge, not wanting this dream to end. That part knows that as soon as this little interlude is over, it's unlikely to repeat. Malik is here to make sure his cousin is okay. He'll need to leave for the next mission shortly after. He's hardly in a position to start something, even with an angel like Guido. Despite knowing that it's one step toward the end, Malik slips another finger into Guido. He both loves the way Guido trembles and shakes around his hand and hates the way he knows this has to end. One limp hand reaches up and caresses Malik's face, drawing him out of his thoughts. He concentrates on Guido's face in the dim light and sees a small smile under eyes glowing with arousal. "I'm ready, Malik," Guido says, licking his dry lips. "Fuck me." Malik grins and crooks his fingers, making Guido gasp and squirm. "Maybe I want to make you come like this," Malik growls, more comfortable with dirty talk than emotional thoughts. "Maybe I want to wring so many orgasms out of you that you're quivering with overstimulation." Guido groans and bites his lip, thrusting down into Malik's touch. "I want to come with you inside me," Guido moans. "Please, it's been so long." Malik's surprised by this slip of the tongue. Guido is so beautiful and kind that he can't imagine why he's single. Regardless, Malik isn't going to keep him waiting. Malik pulls his fingers from Guido and grabs the condom. He watches Guido while he tears open the wrapper with his teeth. Guido is flushed and trembling, but it's from anticipation, not nerves. There's no hesitation on his face, only desperation. Malik takes his time, gently pumping his covered cock while he examines Guido, watching him squirm more with each passing second. There was so much that Malik wanted to do to Guido, but a ticking clock was reminding him that they only had limited time. On impulse, he turns Guido to face the wall. Guido moans when Malik presses on his back with one hand and pulls his hips with the other. It highlighted the perfect curve of the round globes of Guido's ass and showed off that pretty stretched hole, still glistening from Malik's ministrations. "I don't know why you hide such a pretty ass under such ugly cargo pants," Malik growls, rubbing his erection across the crack. Guido moans again, louder and more desperate than any sound he's made tonight, and sends one look over his shoulder, a mix of shyness and humor.
"Those pants are very practical. Lots of puck."
Guido's response turns to a groan when Malik finally presses his cock through the tight furl and starts to slide into heaven. Despite how tight Guido felt, the improvised lube, the haphazard preparation, the fact that they were fucking in a supply closet, the glide is surprisingly easy. It's almost as if they were made for each other, two broken pieces finally coming together to become whole. He squeezes and pulls apart Guido's lush ass to watch his cock slide in and out of that sweet hole. Even through the annoying rubber, it was an effort not to come right away. Malik tried to focus on anything but his dick, but then his attention was drawn to Guido's soft skin. He runs his hands up Guido's back, feeling the way the muscles ripple with each thrust. Running his hands higher, he gets another thought. He digs one hand into Guido's hair and gives a gentle tug. Guido releases the most delectable moan and clenches hard around Malik's cock.
"Fuck," Malik groans. "You like that, don't you, baby? See, see, see."
Malik gives another tug right as he snaps his hips and almost sees stars from the tight way Guido squeezes him. Malik pulls him up by the hair until he can bite and mouth along Guido's neck while he jackhammers into him. His orgasm is right there on the precipice, coaxed there by the magical squeezes Guido gave him each time he tugs his hair or whispers dirty words in his ear. It's perfect, almost perfect, except he can't see Guido, can't kiss him.
"Wait," Malik gasps.
"What?"
Guido moans in confusion and then whimpers when Malik pulls out of him suddenly. He spins the confused and dazed Guido around and then dives back in. Guido wraps his arms and legs around Malik and holds on. This is so much better because he's able to capture Guido with the biting kiss while he jackhammers into Guido's hole. All of his muscles burn as he holds Guido against the door. But there's a different burning in him. He's close, so close. He won't be able to last long enough for Guido to come on his own.
"Stroke yourself, babe," Malik groans against Guido's soft lips. "Come for me." Guido barely gets a hand around his cock before he's crying, and his warm entrance starts pulsing frantically around his cock. It's all Malik needs, and he loses his tenuous grasp on his self-control. All night long, he thought over and over again how much Guido reminded him of an angel. But surely now Malik had died and gone to heaven. There was no way that this much pleasure was possible while still alive. But then Malik slides back to earth, and he's just slumped against the door, holding up a panting Guido. This wasn't heaven. This was a supply closet. He presses one last kiss to Guido's slack lips before slowly sliding out of him, waiting until Guido unwinds his legs and plants them on the ground. He takes a step back. He desperately wished that tonight didn't have to end. "That was," Guido pants, leaning against the wall, "amazing." He sounds so damn happy that once Malik deals with the condom, he can't help but be drawn back in and press his body against Guido's soft one. "It was," he murmurs, kissing along the side of Guido's face. "I can't invite you up to my apartment," Guido mumbles, still out of breath. A bit of sadness twists in Malik's gut, but he just keeps kissing along Guido's face, wanting to memorize every contour of the man. It made sense that tonight was a one-time thing, but it still made Malik sad to lose him.
"But you said you had a hotel?"
"Hmm?" Malik pulls back in confusion. Guido lifts up one hand and starts patting it uncoordinatedly against Malik's cheek. "This was a lot of fun," he says with a smile, but I'd really like to do it next time, in a bed. This is a terrible idea. Sleeping with Guido again would just make it more difficult when Malik had to say goodbye. But looking at that perfect angelic face, there is no way that he can say no. Instead, Malik grins and pulls Guido away from the wall. I can think of a lot of things I'd like to do to you in a bed. Even in the dim light, he can see the blush on Guido's cheek. Malik barely remembers stumbling out of the closet, the fumbling and kissing as they tried to dress, the hot looks and teasing touches on the walk to his hotel. But even years from now, he'd remember one thing. Round two wasn't in a bed either. To be continued.